The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, Licensed Nutrition Counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And from May 15th to May 20th, there was a very special internet presentation, and it was breast cancer prevention. Okay. Free, available for at any time over the internet, with experts that were going to give you their information about prevention, something you don't hear about when you visit the doctor. And here on Natural Doc Radio, we're going to have kind of the same thing going on. Yesterday, Dr. Slavin was giving us all the statistics with regard to the dangers associated with sugar use. And today we're going to continue that discussion. And that discussion will go on for a few more days. And so it's kind of the same thing. A free presentation about the science behind the recommendation, avoid sugar. And so today we continue where we left off with more statistics associated with disease from sugar use or overuse. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
That was my introduction.
Well, isn't it disingenuous that, as we're pointing out, all the problems, the health problems that sugar creates, and doctors ignore it and just hand out drugs all the time? I think that's my complaint with the medical field. They ignore the underlying cause of a problem, just hand out drugs. Now, I've listed yesterday's program with entitled next to it, Sugar Part 1.
Today is Part 2. Okay, great.
So you can, if you didn't catch yesterday's program, you can find it. Now, we pointed out yesterday that sugar consumption is around 140 pounds per year per American, which is up, in the last 10 years. It's not going down. So no, the message isn't getting out.
And dramatically increased, let's say, in the past 100 years.
Oh, for sure.
And so when you start looking at the disease issues that humans face and then evaluate this, you see the place that sugar it takes.
And I think most people think of sugar as causing diabetes or obesity, but it's more complicated than that. Sugar causes heart disease. Sugar causes cancer. And then we're going to go through some of the other important points to understand about sugar. And I want to start off today reminding everybody that sugar increases the female hormone in men, estrogen. So for you men listening, if...
That's attention getting.
Exactly. So that's something that's not, we don't give estrogen replacement to men. So just
okay.
You know that.
The negatives associated with estrogen levels being higher in men than is normal, belly fat. That's the first thing that you can see that the estrogen is going higher than it should be in a man.
Okay, next, I think we mentioned this yesterday, attention deficit disorder in kids. We should stop giving the kids all the sugar that they're getting in all those candy bars or candy that they eat and all the other things, and breakfast cereals and...
Well, one of the things that I'm going to point a finger at with regard to children and sugar, those mainstream multivitamins that are chewable. So I'm going to say, if you're finding a multivitamin like a Flintstones or a Disney character or something like that, take a look at the number of different sweeteners in that chewable or gummy vitamin, because it isn't just sucrose. It is a variety of different sweeteners that are really going to disrupt that child's brain chemistry.
And I'm sure there are artificial colors in there as well.
I would say.
Another big area people are concerned about, at least the ones that come to our office, are always concerned about adrenal function. Well, sugar is going to undermine adrenal function.
And I think that's something lots and lots of people don't even consider. So when your adrenal function is disrupted, you're dealing with anxiety, interrupted sleep, just a general out of sorts feeling.
Now, back in 2004, published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, they said that high sugar intake can lead to depression. So when was the last time the doctor that prescribed an antidepressant to you said, cut back on the sugar?
It's interesting because about a week ago, I saw a gentleman who runs a detox rehabilitation clinic in California, and he was talking about this nation is a nation of depressed people. And that's so odd, because when you evaluate our opportunities and lifestyle, and to have the nation with a depressed mood, but that kind of information very much explains it. Overconsumption of sugar.
And here's why they add sugar to a lot of foods. You'd say, why do you need to put, for example, why do you need to put sugar in ketchup? I wouldn't think you need sugar, right?
Okay.
They put sugar in a lot of foods because when you add sugar to foods, it perpetuates your desire to keep eating.
Yum. This tastes so good. It's irresistible. Even though I'm feeling full, I'm still going to continue to take bites.
Now, so many people have digestive tract problems, and sugar can be a part of that because it's going to increase fermentation of bacteria in your digestive tract, and that's going to give you symptoms.
It's interesting, fermentation in your digestive tract, and people are saying, well, I've got bacteria, isn't that normal fermentation? Absolutely not. It is extremely abnormal. And what's interesting about all of this information that we're discussing, Dr. Slavin, it is information that's been around for 15, 20, and more years.
Now, back in 1987, it was published in Nutrition and Health, and the title was Metabolic Changes Induced by Sugar in Relation to Coronary Heart Disease and Diabetes. And what they're talking about is platelet aggregation. In other words, the platelets are required to form blood clots. And when you are taking in more sugar, your blood becomes stickier and you're more prone to form blood clots. It's going to affect the circulation in your body. 1987, yeah. Doctors are still giving out aspirin instead of cutting back on the sugar.
And very, very rarely do I ever hear from a client of mine, my doctor told me really to watch out for my sugar intake. My doctor told me be careful with the number of servings of fruit that I have every day. It doesn't happen.
So basically, when you have excess sugar, you're going to promote insulin resistance, which means your body has to put out more insulin to control your blood sugar in the normal range. And when you have insulin resistance, you're more prone to develop arthritis, multiple sclerosis, candidiasis. Those are those yeast infections that people complain about.
Okay, so here's this combination of very frequently used antibiotic prescriptions and sugar and the unhappy result is candidiasis. And once you've been dealing with a candida issue, it is so difficult to resolve it 100%.
And the other problem with that is doctors really don't acknowledge that that's even an issue.
They don't. Yeah. They don't.
Also sugar, you know, celiac disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, compulsive overeating.
Now, doctor, you said celiac disease. Well, everybody believes that is an abnormal reaction to wheat and in particular gluten. What does that have to do with insulin resistance? And might it be possible to resolve the issue with, you know, eliminating both the wheat and the sugar?
I think so, definitely. The point we're trying to make is so many problems that people face on a chronic basis can be traced back to perhaps overconsumption of sugar. So the first thing you should try is cut back on that sugar. So people have sugar, excessive amounts of sugar without even realizing it. It takes a lot of sugar to eat 140 pounds a year.
Oh, okay.
We said depression, of course, is going to lead to type 2 diabetes. It's going to, all those people complaining of...
I'm saying go back to that other, the first one. The one with celiac disease. Okay, chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, okay, you mentioned that candidiasis, the doctors don't acknowledge that that's a real issue. And they pretty much dismiss chronic fatigue syndrome in the same way. And
they give antidepressants for that.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, excessive sugar intake causes depression, leads to type 2 diabetes, which is the non-insulin or adult-onset diabetes.
There's compulsive overeating being discussed as well. And there's an organization that is supportive of individuals who are dealing with overeating, Overeaters Anonymous, and it's very interesting because they've been around for years and years and years, and they teach people no sugar. They also teach people very specific food groups to choose from, and three meals a day, exercise, the whole thing. So Overeaters Anonymous has been acknowledging this research for years and years and years.
But to qualify for that, you have to be overweight. So a lot of people who are not overweight, see, these problems don't only affect overweight people, they affect normal weight people, but they're not paying attention.
And when we come back, let's talk a little bit of something that's been getting a lot of attention in the media recently, and it's binge eating. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next part of the program, we're talking about overconsumption of sugar and all of the maladies that it may be connected with. And people might not necessarily understand that the underlying issue that they're dealing with is addiction to sugar. And yesterday, Dr. Slavin, you mentioned that sugar is more addictive than cocaine. So sometimes people would feel very ashamed of themselves because they're overeating, overconsuming sugar, and they're feeling less than capable. But the truth is, they're addicted.
Now, how many people, and I'm sure you see a lot of people with digestive tract problems or complaining of heartburn or gastroesophageal reflex, irritable bowel syndrome, that can be related to sugar intake. So cut back on the sugar again. And a lot of people aren't paying attention to all the sources of sugar, and I think that's part of the problem. You know, we mentioned that cereals in the morning, grains, convert to sugar. Alcohol converts to sugar. Fruits have a lot of sugar. And that's besides the sweeteners you may add to the food you're eating. Also, gallstones.
That's interesting. You would never have connected gallstone formation with overconsumption of sugar. Most people would be thinking, okay, it's poor quality fats. But you think about the combination, some of the foods that are most likely snack foods that people reach for, sugar and fat.
Now, heart disease. You know, if you want to prevent heart disease, cut back on the sugar. Hyperlipidemia, that means high cholesterol, high triglycerides. When I see patients with that, I don't say it's time to take a drug. I say it's time to cut back on your carbohydrates.
It's time to take a look at your diet.
Yeah, high blood pressure, infertility, obesity. In other words, I hope it's sinking in now that these are all self-inflicted illnesses.
Okay, it's interesting to me that infertility is on the list, Dr. Slavin. And so what I'm going to relate that to is at the beginning of the show, you were talking about sugar increasing estrogen in men. So we're seeing with that very much sugar can affect your hormones.
Right. In addition, can be a trigger for panic attacks. You get that hypoglycemia, you know, when people, after a couple hours after eating, and they get to feel lightheaded and maybe shaky a little bit. That's because their blood sugar is dropping, because their bodies put out too much insulin, so the sugar drops, and then you start eating again. That's why you have to cut out the sugar and the carbs, and you don't get that problem.
I had a client yesterday who was eating very well and couldn't figure out why she was having this extreme fatigue about three hours after a meal. And we started reviewing in detail what she was consuming. And she was making a fresh juice of, I believe, pear and apple, and consuming this juice. And I said, I believe if you cut that juice out, you will not have that extreme drop in energy, the low blood sugar. And she said, but I make it myself. And I said, yes, it's very good quality, but it's too much and it's interfering with stable energy.
So those smoothies could be a detriment. But here's, if you add protein powder, if you add fiber to it,
that's just exactly what I told her.
Yeah, you'll slow the absorption, and it may mitigate those reactions. Osteoarthritis brought on by too much sugar.
Inflammation. You're making an inflammatory body chemistry with the consumption of sugar.
Now, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, that's probably more common than is appreciated. It's associated with insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome. What you find in women with this condition is actually they have high testosterone levels. And the doctors put these patients on metformin. That's the recommended treatment. Why not just cut out the sugar and correct the underlying metabolic problem there?
So PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, another indication how dramatically sugar interferes with normal hormone function.
Now, increased risk of blood clots associated with insulin resistance. Cognitive decline under that category is Alzheimer's disease, but any form of dementia.
They actually are in some areas referring to Alzheimer's as diabetes of the brain. And, you know, people might not understand that your brain's fuel is glucose and oxygen. And the fuel for your brain needs to be very stable, not sharp increases. And then with the insulin response, sharp drops.
Back in 1994, the British Journal of Cancer published a study entitled Diabetes and Cancer Risk. And what they pointed out in that study was that elevated levels of insulin, that means even before you get cancer, I mean, even before you get diabetes, elevated levels of insulin increase your risk of colon, liver, pancreatic, breast, and endometrial cancer. So that's, you know, this is something that we can all improve upon, and it really doesn't take, it just takes attention. Pay a little attention to what you're eating, and you can cut back on the amount of sugar.
This point, Dr. Slavin, insulin resistance and hypertension. So this comes from a journal, and the article was published in 1996. Something that I've been telling my clients for years and years and years, it isn't sodium, overconsumption of sodium, I'm not giving that a pass. But more commonly, the reason for your high blood pressure is insulin resistant and overconsumption of sugar.
And insulin resistance actually causes fluid retention.
And there's a drug for that, isn't there?
Of course. Now, here's an interesting thing. This is not just a problem with overweight people. Between one quarter and one third of lean people with high blood pressure are insulin resistant. A lot of times you say, well, you think of being overweight is why your blood pressure is high. But here you don't have to be overweight and you can have insulin resistance. That's why it's important to know whether you have insulin resistance or not. Now, if you were to just use the guidelines or the tests that doctors are routinely doing, and that is the fasting blood sugar, you'd like your blood sugar to at least be between 70 and 90. Between 90 and 109 would be considered pre-diabetes, and the reason they go up to 109 because the labs now use that as a cutoff. Above 109 would be diabetes. And if it's greater than 109, then you could be called insulin resistant or even diabetic. But that's not really the best way to look for this problem. And you want to do a glucose tolerance test, but better than that would be a glucose insulin tolerance test. Because if you just do a glucose tolerance test by itself, you're going to miss a lot of people that have the problem. So reports showing that the glucose tolerance test is not the best way. If you're going to do, here's how they do a glucose tolerance test. You get to the lab fasting, so they draw your blood sugar. And then they give you a drink, a measured amount of sugar to drink, and then they check your blood sugar in a half hour, 1 hour, and 2 hours, and they want to see your response. Well, if they're drawing your blood, they might as well draw the insulin at the same time so you get to see how your body is responding to the insulin.
Is that how it's done at Advanced Medical Testing Center?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right. Is there any risk associated with doing that glucose insulin tolerance?
Well, the risk might be low blood sugar at the 1 hour or 2 hour mark. That would be the reactive hypoglycemia, but it doesn't happen that often. Now, there are other ways. Before you even get into the glucose or glucose insulin tolerance tests, you could look at your hemoglobin A1C. That's a reflection of your average blood sugar over a three-month period. But just to point out, and I've seen this over and over again, you can have a normal hemoglobin A1C and still have high insulin levels. So it's not going to pick up if you have insulin resistance.
What about, I just saw on a blood test that I reviewed fructosamine. And when I investigated fructosamine, that was, A1C gives you the 3-month picture, the fructosamine 1 to 3 weeks picture.
Yeah, and that's another helpful way of looking at it, but you can still have normal levels there and have elevated insulin levels. So what doesn't make sense, if you want to know if you're insulin resistant, check the insulin level. Have your doctor order a fasting insulin level. And then you could also have your doctor order a non-fasting insulin level, so you'll get a true picture, because you could have a normal fasting insulin level, but your postprandial or insulin levels after eating can still be too elevated. So this is probably, if I had to choose one area to really concentrate that can improve your health the most, and that would be first checking to see if you have insulin resistance, and then cutting back on the sugar, and you can actually correct that. You can reverse insulin resistance. And
okay, candidiasis. I see so many individuals dealing with candidiasis. It's interesting because most of the time where I point the blame, finger of blame, is on the overuse or improper use of antibiotics. So it is so critical to adjust your diet if you are dealing with yeast overgrowth.
And do you remember the time a person was pulled over for driving under the influence? In other words, they were accused of drinking, and their defense was, because they hadn't had a drink, and their defense was the auto toxicity syndrome, I think it was called. In other words, they had so much yeast in their digestive tract that the sugar they had eaten, I think they may have just had a candy bar, that sugar and yeast created alcohol, and they did get that high alcohol levels just from that. And that can be done. That's why maybe people feel lightheaded or tired or something. They have an overgrowth of yeast after and a sugar meal.
So no candy bars while you're driving. That music means that it's time for us to take a break. You're on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard, just west of the Florida Turnpike, or 3 blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are talking about sugar. It's doing way more damage than you know.
Now, if you're wondering if you have insulin resistance, one of the early warning signs of that are digestive tract problems. So what are digestive tract problems? They would be when you have bloating after eating, abdominal distension, some pain, even diarrhea. And the way you get diarrhea is if you have too much sugar in your digestive tract, more than the body can handle, it's going to pull water into the large bowel in order to dilute the sugar, and that'll cause diarrhea. So digestive tract problems, they're not a purple pill deficiency.
Ooh.
As with so many people, you know, just take things
and,
like that.
Okay, so not even the purple pill. Don't they have a chewable gummy antacid? I remember
probably
seeing the commercial, but I can't remember the brand.
And probably more sugar in it, too.
Well, that's it. A chewable gummy, and that's going to relieve your digestive symptoms. So you think about all of the over-the-counter products that people gobble, you know, very, very significant numbers of these things over the course of the day. And what needs to be done is dietary change.
Now, we pointed out that not every country, in fact, most countries don't rely upon drugs to treat symptoms the way we do in this country. And there was a study done in another country that looked at 67 patients with Crohn's disease. Crohn's disease is a serious digestive tract problem. It's inflammation of the colon associated with bloody and mucus in the stools. It's a serious problem. People go for surgery to cut out pieces of intestines because of it. Could affect any part of the intestines, by the way. So here's what they did. They put patients with this condition on a low-carbohydrate diet. After 6 months, 70% was symptom-free. And after 18 months, 85% had no symptoms at all. Is your doctor telling you to cut out the carbs?
Never.
I mean, this is kind of frustrating to me because they're telling you to take drugs. They're not telling you how to really get better. Now, insulin. And here's another reason you want to keep insulin under control. It stimulates pro-inflammatory substances in your body. What does that mean? It's going to increase inflammation. And we talk about inflammation as being something to be avoided because it upsets every aspect of your body's function.
Okay, so glucagon can support anti-inflammatory substances. How do you support your glucagon levels in your body? Changing your diet.
And when it comes to gallstones, you say, well, how does eating sugar... You know, it's funny. Everybody associates gallstones with fat.
Absolutely.
And that's actually the purpose of the bile in the gallbladder. You know, when you eat a fatty meal, the gallbladder contracts, secreting bile into the intestines so you can break down fat. Eating a low-fat diet, and it's an interesting point, eating a low-fat diet increases the risk of gallstones because when bile accumulates in the gallbladder for too long, stones may form.
Okay, now see, I'm going to expand that point, Dr. Slavin. It is the quality of the bile that your liver is able to produce. And if it's poor quality bile, it doesn't function optimally. And so having high quality fats is so important. And so many doctors, when people have elevated cholesterol or triglycerides, they tell their patients, low fat diet, no red meat, no eggs, and it's the opposite of what the body needs in order to produce high-quality bile.
So in other words, they're saying if you don't eat fat in your diet, the bile is going to stagnate in your gallbladder, increasing the risk of stones. So I think that's an interesting tip, because I haven't heard that. I haven't heard doctors tell their patients that. People with diabetes and those with high triglycerides more commonly have gallstones.
It's interesting because they're saying that Native Americans and Mexican Americans have a higher risk of developing gallstones. So what are two things in both of those ethnic diets that I would point a sugary finger at? And it's for the Native Americans, it would be corn, and for the Mexican Americans, rice. Well,
and corn. They
don't rice and corn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a high carbohydrate diet, in other words.
Right.
Now, here's an interesting one I hadn't considered. Cholesterol-lowering medications increase the amount of cholesterol secreted in the bile, stimulating the development of gallstones.
Wow.
So everybody on a statin drug ought to check their gallbladder, make sure they don't have any stones.
Okay, so a very reasonable way to do that would be to do an ultrasound. Does the ultrasound really give you the kind of information you need to evaluate the presence of gallstones? Would it show sludge in your gallbladder?
Yeah, it'll show sludge. But here's what you look for. If you really have a gallbladder issue, you can have stones and be totally asymptomatic, but if you see a thickening of the wall of the gallbladder, it means it's been contracting without being able to empty itself, and over time, you see a thickening of the wall. The best thing is to prevent it, and we're telling you how. Cut out the sugar and the carbs. Now, here are some sugar substitutes that everybody is telling you they're perfectly safe, but not all of them are. You have aspartame, sucralose, acesulfame, potassium, neotame, saccharin, stevia, and the sugar alcohols, xylitol, sorbitol, mannitol, and isomalt. And
it's interesting that so many times people are told that the sugar substitutes are appropriate and won't affect their blood sugar chemistry. And indeed, the truth is far from that.
Now, aspartame, also known as NutraSweet, right?
Right.
It's composed of phenylalanine and aspartic acid. So if you have the condition known as PKU, or phenylketonuria, can't use that. It's destroyed by heat, so I guess it's not going to work in tea or coffee. Hot tea or coffee.
Well, this is the point that is really critically important. How aspartame breaks down. And if people knew this information, they would never use this product.
Okay, it breaks down into methanol. And methanol breaks down into embalming fluid, otherwise known as formaldehyde.
Do our listeners hear that? Methanol, and then ultimately formaldehyde. Remember when you were in high school biology class? Formaldehyde as the embalming substance?
So here's some of the side effects. Now, a lot of people experience these things, and if they're having aspartame, you might want to connect the two. Dizziness, visual impairment, disorientation, a buzzing in the ears.
Now, that's an interesting one. Dr. Slavin, do you see a lot of people who are saying they have ringing in their ears and tinnitus?
Every now and then, yeah. Elevated liver enzymes, tunnel vision, a loss of equilibrium, severe muscle aches, numbness of the extremities.
How many people deal with severe muscle aches?
Inflammation of the pancreas, high blood pressure, hemorrhages or bleeding in the eye, attention deficit disorder, hives, memory loss, headaches, seizures, fibromyalgia. This list is so long. Let me remind you, this is talking about aspartame.
And these information points are from journals, very well-regarded journals, Journal of the American Medical Association, Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology, and the information has been around for years.
30 years, at least, and it's still on the market. They say that aspartame is one of the most commonly complained about substances, complaints to the FDA, and it's still on the market. And a lot has been written about it. Now, sucralose, I think a lot of people think sucralose is a better choice. It's a sugar molecule and has three of its components removed and replaced with chloride. This is one of your favorite topics. I would say chlorinated sugar. It provides no calories, of course, because the body does not recognize it as food.
Okay, this one is one of my favorite ones to point to, increase the development of hypothyroidism.
Yeah, and that's because it has the chlorine in it. You know, chlorine is going to displace the iodine, and that's going to have a negative effect on the thyroid gland. And it's 2,000 times sweeter than regular sugar.
I was at lunch with a friend, and she had invited her sister, and her sister, we all ordered iced tea at lunchtime, and her sister reached for two yellow packs, that would be the sucralose, the Splenda, two blue packs, and she opened those four packages of sweetener and put all of those in her iced tea. Now,
people think it's perfectly safe and it has no calories. What could be better, right?
I just can't imagine how sweet that would taste in such concentration in, let's say, a 10-ounce glass of iced tea. And the reason that the sister was invited to join us for lunch is she was very ill, and her sister thought perhaps talking to me might help a little bit. And I could not interfere with how many packets of sweetener she put in her iced tea.
Now, we mentioned other sweeteners like acesulfame, potassium. Now, that one, not enough research has been done. So, you know, you don't really know all the side effects. The same thing about neotame. Now, saccharin has been around for a long time, over 100 years. And remember, saccharin got into disfavor when it was, a report came out that rats fed really high doses of saccharin developed cancer.
Kidney cancer, I thought it was.
Right, exactly.
And the other part of it is the amount given to them would equal a wheelbarrow full of saccharin in human terms of consumption.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about stevia, but right now we have to take a break.
And you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. We're with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about sweeteners that may be harming your health. Stay tuned. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Are you sipping your tea or your coffee? Have you put some sweetener in it? Dr. Slavin, what do you recommend if someone wants to have a little bit of sweet taste in their tea or coffee?
I still like organic cane sugar. 16 calories per teaspoon. You know, if all you had was 2 or 3 teaspoons, that's not a deal breaker when it comes to sugar. If you think about people having at least a half a cup of sugar every day, you know, three little teaspoons, it's not the... not a problem. Now, a lot of people are going to stevia because it has no side effects. It doesn't raise your blood sugar or insulin levels. But here's the problem, even with stevia, is that it keeps that sugar craving alive. In other words, if you're addicted to sugar, even stevia is going to perpetuate that addiction. So, unfortunately, you still got to get off that.
Dr. Slavin, one of the things that I've read in the past about stevia is that it is a blood sugar balancer, so that it has the potential to be beneficial. So even though, you know, this information is saying that it's keeping your sweet cravings alive, that it does help to balance blood sugar. And sweet cravings would indicate that your sugar is very unbalanced. So a little bit of difference of opinion of researchers, I guess.
Now you have these sugar alcohols, sorbitol, xylitol, maltitol, erythritol, mannitol. The problem with those are they're associated with diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, bloating, stomach rumbling, flatulence. So
all that lower digestive tract disruption. So the sugar alcohols, if you're going to use them, you have to be very modest in the amount that you're going to consume. Now, Dr. Slavin, one of them, xylitol that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Xylitol, my understanding is that it will pull bacteria, certain harmful bacteria, from your teeth and gums, so that it's a benefit, say used in chewing gum or mouthwash or something like that. And you're quiet there.
Right. I've read the same thing. I'm not sure that it makes that big a difference. Just another reason to promote a substance that you probably could live without.
Okay, so a marketing ploy.
Yeah, it may be true. But now, what about sucrose? Sucrose is made from sugar or sugar cane.
Sugar beets or sugar cane. And Dr. Slavin, sugar beets, for the most part, are genetically modified. So my suggestion is, if people are going to use sugar and use it modestly, use it from sugar cane.
But there's a problem with it. Sucrose is made from a combination of glucose and fructose. It's a 50-50 combination, and glucose is okay, so, because that's metabolized throughout the body, but only the liver can metabolize the fructose. So, you're going to run into problems there. Honey, a lot of people think, well, honey is natural. That's going to be the perfect sweetener. If you get raw honey, the good kind, because, we talked about this, where you have a lot of, it says honey, but it's artificial. It's a lot of ingredients put in there, and it's not real honey.
Well, the ingredients may come from a variety of different sources. So you may have sugar you may have honey that comes from China. You may have honey that comes from Brazil. So from many different sources. And then it's pasteurized. So all of the enzymes are broken down and destroyed.
And here's the other thing, too. Honey also has fructose in it. And again, you know, fructose can only be metabolized by the liver. So that may not be your a good alternative either. High fructose corn syrup is probably the most dangerous of the sweeteners that are being used in commercial products.
And keep in mind, a lot of that high fructose corn syrup comes from genetically modified corn. And remember when there was a lot of media attention and focus on high fructose corn syrup? The manufacturers were saying it's the same as sugar. It's digested the same way as sugar. And that is very far from true.
Well, here's an interesting fact. When one eats 120 calories of glucose, less than one calorie is stored as fat. When one eats 120 calories of fructose, 40 calories are stored as fat. And a lot of people are saying the reason why we're seeing this obesity epidemic is because there's high fructose corn syrup in so many products. You know, just read the label. All your sweetened beverages out there, if you know, you look at it, most of them say high fructose corn syrup. You want to see, ideally, organic cane sugar.
Okay, but isn't organic cane sugar 50-50 glucose and fructose? Yeah.
Table sugar.
Table sugar is 50% fructose and 50% glucose. And so how do we get 100% glucose? That we will find out for tomorrow's show.
Yeah. Well, fructose, well, here's the thing. So it seems you want to avoid fructose. When processed, is absorbed into the body faster than regular sugar, which is glucose and fructose together. Remember, we're talking about high fructose corn syrup now. Fructose is directly absorbed into the cell without a carrier. It doesn't need insulin. This leads to an increase in triglycerides and fat storage in the liver. Furthermore, fructose does not increase leptin to aid in appetite suppression. This may contribute to weight gain. See, I think that's a real important point, too. So you can keep eating the fructose and you never get satisfied. Between 1970 and 1990, the consumption of high fructose corn syrup increased by more than 1,000%. So I think that's an interesting statistic right there. So normally, you know, humans consume less than 15 grams of fructose a day from fruits and vegetables. 15 grams. In 1997, consumption on a daily basis had increased to 81 grams. So I think now you can begin to see how our diets have changed, and along with those changes, we're seeing all the medical problems that are cropping up. And high fructose corn syrup may be a major contributing cause of metabolic syndrome, which is another name for insulin resistance or syndrome X, which means when they talk about metabolic syndrome, they're talking about the combination of high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels, high triglycerides, increased waistline. Those are the things that go into metabolic syndrome.
So not only are we talking about being very aware of processed foods that may contain high fructose corn syrup, we also need to be very attentive to how much fruit we're consuming on a regular basis. I've said it before, and I will say it again. People talk about eat your fruits and vegetables. That phrase is not correct. Eat your vegetables and a little bit of fruit.
Well, here's an interesting study that was published. One group was given a high glucose diet, and the other group was given a high fructose diet. After 1 week, those on the high fructose diet had a significant reduction in insulin sensitivity and insulin binding. The other group that ate the high glucose diet did not experience any change. So, you know, so the point is you really want to stay away from high fructose. Men eating a diet of moderate amounts of fructose produced adverse changes in glucose metabolism in both normal subjects and also in men who had high insulin levels. So there's no good reason for eating high fructose corn syrup, except it's hard to escape because on the shelves of the supermarket, that's the probably the most commonly used sweetener because it's inexpensive. High fructose corn syrup in large amounts can elevate your triglycerides and therefore increase your risk of heart disease. A large intake of high fructose corn syrup is associated with elevations of other lipids like ApoB100, which is the main lipoprotein that carries cholesterol. This can lead to fatty deposits. And HDL, which some people call the good cholesterol, is actually lowered when you consume fructose. So just pay attention.
Very interesting how much of an impact the glucose intake has with so many different aspects of our health, how our organs function. It's very dramatic how you can alter your health picture when you reduce sugar intake. That music means that we are out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow from 10 to 11. Here on 1470 AM. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.